We're going to have our first reading now. Now, today, as a special treat, we've got three Bible readings. Well, actually, it's one chapter of the Bible that we're going to look at in three parts. It's Luke chapter 15. And, the first part is going to be read by Sue. So, thank you. Thank you, Sue.
Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling. This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them. Then Jesus told them this story. If any of you has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go and look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will be so glad that you will put it on your shoulder and carry it home. Then you will call your friends and neighbours and say, let's celebrate. I found my lost sheep. Jesus said, in the same way, there is more happiness in heaven because of one sinner who turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to. Jesus told another story. What will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Won't she light a lamp, sweep the floor, and look carefully until she finds it? Then she will call in her friends and neighbours and say, let's celebrate. I found the coin I lost. Jesus said, in the same way, God's angels are happy when even one person turns to him.
And I know that, that was a reading from David's funeral as well. So he is very much, he is still very much in our thoughts and in our prayers and in many ways with us as we look at this together. So the reading tells us that some religious people were grumbling because they expected Jesus to be more religious. Just think about that for a moment. They expected Jesus to be more religious. They thought he would seem more holy if he didn't sit with certain people. But Jesus would sit and talk to anyone. No one was too bad or too dirty or too much of a sinner. That was a word they used to describe people who weren't like them. Jesus liked to sit with people and eat with them because he had lots of love to share. And he found that if you share love instead of keeping it to yourself, and if you share love instead of hate, then you can actually make people better. So Jesus tried to explain to them why he did it. And he told three stories. We've just heard two of them. And they might be familiar to you, a lost sheep and a lost coin. These stories tell us that God thinks of us as precious things, and he doesn't want to lose us. If we get lost, like if we lose our way, or if we're not at our best, or if we're drifting away from God's love, God doesn't say, I can't have anything to do with them. No. He searches for us. He comes looking for us. and he'd risk a lot to bring us back. Just let that gospel truth sink in. So the first thing this tells us about God is that he's always searching for the lost. And it also tells us that when we find our way back, or when God finds us, then there's a party in heaven. The translation didn't do it justice as to how much celebrating Jesus tells us there will be in heaven. He talks about the angels being happy, but actually it means the angels will celebrate. The angels in heaven will have a party when just one person finds their way back to God. It makes you think, though, doesn't it? What will heaven be like? Well, this reading tells us that there will be a lot of partying. Emily's going to read for us now our second part of Luke chapter 15. And this is the best bit.
To 24. Jesus told them yet another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread through that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am, starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.' The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged him and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found.' And they began to celebrate."
Thank you, Emily. This is the third story in Luke 15. The third story Jesus tells to explain why he chooses to sit and eat and make friends with all sorts of people. Not just the right people, not just the religious, not just the good. And it's a story about a father. We often call this story the prodigal son. But really, it's a story about a father. And if it helps, when we imagine this story today, it could just as easily be about a mother. Thank you for the musical accompaniment. A father has two sons, and one of them says, "Dad, you know when you die..." And the dad says, "Yes. What will happen to all your money and this house and everything you own when you die?" And the dad says, "Well, it'll be divided between you and your brother." And the son thinks, that sounds good. So he asks his dad if he can have that money now. I don't know how the dad must have felt. Jesus doesn't tell us. But the people listening to his story would be able to guess how the dad might have felt, or how they think he might have felt. Can you guess how the dad might have felt when the son asks for all of the money that he's going to inherit right now? Any thoughts?
Disgusted.
Oh, that's very strong, David. Disgusted, yes. Well, maybe.
Disappointed.
Yes.
Hurt.
Yes. But he still gives the son his money. Maybe the dad actually thought it would be good for him. I mean, how many young people today could do with that sort of money now when they're starting off their lives? Deposits on houses are not what they used to be. But anyway, that's a thought for another day. But maybe the dad thought, well, why wait until he's dead before he sees his son investing his money and making a life for himself? Maybe the son felt, for various reasons, he needed to leave the family home and the family business and go off and make a life for himself somewhere else. But the story tells us that the son didn't put it to good use. Jesus tells us he wasted it on wild living, reckless spending, parties and fun with no thought for the future. And when the son was living far away from home and hadn't seen his family for a long time, when a famine came to that part of the country, he found he had no savings, no work, and nothing to eat. So he got himself a job working with pigs. And he was even jealous of the food the pigs were eating, because at least they had some and he had none. So at one very low point, the son comes to his senses. He realized. And he thinks, if I could pluck up the courage and the humility to go back home and admit what I've done, then at least I will have somewhere to live and something to eat. Not as a son, but as a servant. And that's what he sets out to do. He starts to make the journey home. But back to the dad for a moment, because this story is really all about him. We don't know what the father was doing every day for years while the son was away. But what we do know is that while the son was still a long way off, walking back far in the distance, the father noticed him. He saw him coming and recognized him at once. And when I think about this as a father myself, I can imagine that every day, every morning, every evening, he would have gone out to the edge of his land and looked out into the distance in the direction his son went away, and he would hope and he would pray and he would believe. He's coming home. One day, he's coming home. And he would do that every day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And one day, his prayers were answered. And when he saw him, he ran like the wind and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the sight of this respectable older gentleman running through the countryside with his arms outstretched and joy on his face made it perfectly clear for anyone who could see that this was unconditional love. And the son still managed his apology and explained that he was not worthy. But I don't know how much the father would really hear of that, because he was too busy thinking about the massive party he was planning. Another party, you see. And Jesus is telling us, this is what God is like. So Anita's going to read for us now, and in case, because some of you might be wondering, but what about the other brother? Thank you, Anita.
Well, the older son had been out in the field. But when he came near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, "What's going on over here?" The servant answered, "Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf." The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, "For years I've worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you've never even given me a little goat so I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money, and now he's come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast." His father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost and has now been found."
Thank you, Anita. Of course, there was another brother. And we don't hear anything about him in the early part of the story, apart from that Jesus tells us at the start that there were two sons. And this is a difficult one. If what this son says is true, then it all seems very unfair. I'm sure that many of us, while we're meant to rejoice with the son who came home, might also be able to identify with the one who never left home in the first place. In all the preparations for the party, it seems the father hadn't even told him what was going on. The older son was out in the field working. He comes back to find the party has started without him. How does he feel? Well, Jesus tells us angry. We can see shock, bitterness, resentment, years of pent-up frustration, and maybe wondering just what will happen if my brother ever turns up again. The brother makes some accusations about what his brother has spent all his money on, and he pours out his anger on the father. By our standards, it might seem unfair. Life often throws up injustices. But this is not an injustice. It is a gift from the Father who had every right to give it. Just let that sink in for a while. And if God is the Father in the story, which I think he is, then it should tell us that God can cope if we ever need to let off steam in anger or frustration to him. God can cope. But let it be to him. He can take it. It's when our anger spills out in other places that it's sometimes unhelpful. And also, notice that the Father's not upset at this outburst. He understands. And he still invites his son to come and enjoy it. He hopes he'll realize in time why they had to celebrate. Maybe one day this son will be a father himself, and then he might understand it better. And thirdly, and for all of us, they are family. The Father tries to get that across. Your brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. We are family. A church family, a human family, in some cases, actual families. But we are family. Sometimes members of the family need grace and forgiveness, while some are the ones who work very hard and can sometimes feel resentment. We never know when we might be the ones who need that grace and forgiveness, that welcome back. We never know. And maybe at the same time, we should remember and be thankful for the ones who stay and work hard. I'm sure that the Father loved them both the same. This story opens for me God's love. It opens God's love up for us in an extraordinary way. If you haven't accepted it yet, perhaps today is the day. Amen.